Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Complex PTSD Workbook by Casey J. Bennett is a self-help workbook focused on the after-effects of prolonged childhood trauma, especially the patterns commonly associated with complex post-traumatic stress. Positioned within trauma recovery, mental health, and guided journaling, it is designed for readers who experience emotional flashbacks, chronic anxiety, shame, dissociation, people-pleasing, shutdown, or intense reactions that feel disproportionate to present circumstances. Rather than presenting complex trauma as a fixed identity, the book frames many symptoms as learned survival responses that can be understood, regulated, and gradually changed. Its purpose is practical to give readers structured exercises for recognizing triggers, calming the nervous system, working with the inner critic, and rebuilding a more stable sense of self. The workbook uses accessible language and a step-by-step format, making it most relevant for individuals seeking organized self-reflection and body-based coping tools alongside or in preparation for professional support. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, complex PTSD is presented as a pattern of long-term survival adaptation. A central feature of the workbook is its distinction between complex trauma and a single traumatic event model of PTSD. The book treats CPTSD as the result of prolonged exposure to unsafe, neglectful, abusive, or chronically stressful environments, often during childhood. This matters because the symptoms are not limited to fear memories or isolated flashbacks. They often include emotional dysregulation, chronic shame, negative self-perception, relational instability, dissociation, and difficulty feeling safe even when danger is no longer present. By explaining symptoms as survival adaptations, the workbook reduces the tendency to interpret them as personal weakness or character failure. People-pleasing, withdrawal, hypervigilance, overfunctioning, and emotional numbing are framed as strategies that may once have helped the reader endure unsafe conditions. The practical implication is that healing begins with recognition rather than self-blame. Readers are encouraged to map patterns, notice when old responses appear in current life, and understand that recovery requires repeated experiences of safety rather than simple insight alone. This framework gives the exercises a coherent foundation. The goal is not to erase the past, but to update protective responses that are no longer serving the present. Secondly, emotional flashbacks are treated as body-driven states, not ordinary mood swings. The workbook gives significant attention to emotional flashbacks, a key symptom often associated with complex trauma. Unlike visual or narrative flashbacks, emotional flashbacks may appear as sudden shame, panic, helplessness, anger, or abandonment fear without an obvious memory attached. Bennett presents these episodes as nervous system activations that can make the present feel emotionally identical to the past. This emphasis is important because many survivors misread flashbacks as proof that they are irrational, overly sensitive, or unable to cope. The workbook encourages readers to identify the signs of activation, name likely triggers, and separate the current situation from the historical emotional state that has been reawakened. The reasoning behind this approach is practical. Once a reader can recognize an emotional flashback as a trauma response, there is more room to pause, ground, and choose a safer response. The book also emphasizes that triggers are not always dramatic. Tone of voice, perceived rejection, conflict, silence, authority figures, or unmet needs can activate old patterns. By focusing on recognition before correction, the workbook helps readers build a more accurate internal warning system and reduce the confusion that often follows intense emotional reactions. Thirdly, nervous system regulation is prioritized over purely cognitive insight. A distinctive aspect of the book is its emphasis on mind-body regulation. The workbook does not rely only on journaling or cognitive reframing. It also includes grounding practices, somatic exercises, breathing techniques, and vagus nerve-oriented calming methods. This reflects a trauma-informed view that complex trauma is held not only in thoughts but also in physiological patterns of fight, flight, freeze, and shutdown. For readers who already understand their history but still feel overwhelmed by anxiety, numbness, or reactivity, this focus is especially relevant. The book suggests that insight becomes more useful when the body has enough safety to process it. Regulation practices are therefore presented as foundational skills rather than optional wellness habits. The concrete purpose is to help readers notice sensations, lower arousal, reconnect with the present environment, and expand tolerance for difficult emotions without becoming flooded. These exercises are generally short and repeatable, which fits the needs of people who may find long or intense therapeutic tasks destabilizing. The underlying logic is incremental, repeated small moments of calming can gradually teach the nervous system that present life is not identical to the traumatic environment in which the original survival responses developed. Fourthly, Self-compassion is used to counter shame and the inner critic. The workbook addresses the inner critic as one of the most persistent effects of childhood trauma. In many trauma survivors, self-attack becomes a way to anticipate rejection, control behavior, or avoid further harm. Bennett treats this critical voice not simply as negative thinking, but as a learned protective mechanism that can become harsh, repetitive, and emotionally damaging. The book uses self-compassion exercises and reflective prompts to help readers observe this voice without fully identifying with it. This is a meaningful intervention because chronic shame often keeps survivors trapped in avoidance, isolation, and perfectionism. If every emotional reaction is interpreted as failure, recovery work itself can become another source of self-punishment. The workbook instead encourages a more measured relationship with painful internal messages. Readers are invited to notice what the critic says, consider what it may be trying to prevent, and practice responding with steadier, less punitive language. This does not mean excusing harmful behavior or denying responsibility. Rather, it creates enough internal safety for change to occur by pairing self-compassion with pattern recognition. The book supports the gradual rebuilding of identity beyond trauma-based roles, such as the fixer, appeaser, invisible child, or overachiever. Lastly, the structured practice format connects personal regulation to relationships and boundaries. The book is organized around step-by-step practice, including a structured recovery plan with short exercises that can be repeated in daily life. This format matters because complex trauma often produces inconsistent self-awareness. A person may understand a pattern after the fact, but lose access to that insight during. Conflict, stress, or perceived rejection. A day-by-day or staged workbook structure helps translate general knowledge into concrete habits. The content moves from awareness of triggers and emotional responses toward grounding, stabilization, relationship patterns, boundaries, and integration. This sequence is sensible because relational change is difficult without some capacity for internal regulation. The workbook does not treat boundaries as simple scripts or assertiveness statements. Instead, it links them to attachment patterns, people-pleasing, withdrawal, fear of abandonment, and over-responsibility. Readers are encouraged to notice how trauma responses shape their interactions and to practice more balanced responses over time. The value of the structure is its manageability. Rather than asking readers to transform their lives through a single breakthrough, it emphasizes small, repeatable actions that strengthen emotional resilience. This makes the book particularly useful for readers who need organization, pacing, and a clear sequence for applying trauma concepts to everyday relationships. In conclusion, the Complex PTSD Workbook is best suited for readers who recognize the effects of childhood trauma in their adult emotional life and want a structured, accessible way to begin working with those patterns. It may be especially useful for people who experience emotional flashbacks, people-pleasing, chronic shame, dissociation, intense reactivity, or difficulty setting boundaries. Its practical benefit lies in translating trauma concepts into daily exercises, noticing triggers, calming the body, identifying protective responses, softening the inner critic, and practicing healthier relational choices. Intellectually, it helps readers understand complex trauma as an adaptation of the nervous system and identity, not merely a collection of symptoms. Compared with more theory-heavy trauma books, this workbook stands out for its guided format and emphasis on small, repeatable practices. Compared with general anxiety or mindfulness workbooks, it is more specifically oriented toward the patterns of prolonged developmental trauma, including shame, emotional flashbacks, attachment wounds, and relational survival strategies. It is not a replacement for trauma-informed therapy, particularly for readers with severe dissociation, active crisis, or unsafe circumstances. However, it can function as a practical companion for self-reflection, therapy preparation, or ongoing recovery work. Its main strength is the combination of compassionate framing, nervous system regulation, and structured practice in one approachable format. If you would like to support KCJ Bennett, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.